You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
What's going on, y'all? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Black Is Break, brought to you by The Black Is Network. This is your man Chris, one half of the Brothers Layman, one of the members of The Black Is Crew. Thank y'all for tuning in. This conversation is kind of wraps up where we left off last week, where we did one of our Black Is field trips, went to go see Straight Outta Compton, came back, discussed it. Not so much about the movie, which we did talk about, but you know, more so us growing up with NWA in the 90s as kids from L.A. And now all of that and how that impacted us and what we've seen. And it was a good conversation. You know, y'all should check that out. This is where we left off in the conversation. We started getting into the misogyny portion of NWA that was people upset about it being left out the movie or not explored enough. We also start sliding into feminism. Brother Darius wanted to ask some questions about black women and this feminism movement and where they stood and get more explanation on that. And then somehow toward the end, the conversation just gets into circumcision, which is weird. But it was a fun conversation. That was a fun night. It's my birthday 2 weeks ago. But you know, shout out to all the Leos out there. You know, it's fun. August time of Virgos coming in. Both my mom and mother-in-law are Virgos, so shout out to them. Yeah, thanks y'all for tuning in. Let us know what you guys think of the show. Another network that we have. You know, leave us some feedback. Leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Helps us out. Make sure you guys subscribe there. Check us out on TuneIn, SoundCloud. You know, got a weekly show, this one, for those who don't know. You know, besides this weekly show with The Black Is Break, we also have the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour with myself and my brother Jonathan, talking sports, a lot of NBA, NFL. Tis the season, y'all. Y'all make it, check it out. We'll keep y'all updated on all the good sports news. But if y'all want to write in on a topic, let us know any, you know, comments, feedback, any of that good stuff. You can reach out via email at KC@BlackIsOnline.com. We're on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219. Hit us up, let us know what you guys think. All right, let's get into it. Thanks for listening.
But no, I still think like what they were doing with the women was legit, because back in the day, you knew the rapper, you knew their wife. You know what I'm saying? And they weren't filled with silicone. They weren't porn stars. These was regular black girls from the hood that had been with them.
Miss Melody.
Am I Miss Melody? Right. Shantae. You say their name, you know their wife. Right. And you got pictures of them back in the day with bobs and bamboo earrings and shit like that. And no, they didn't know how to handle themselves. And yeah, the dudes probably messed around, but it was a different image.
Probably they did.
But it ain't, but it's different. You know what I'm saying? But
I'm just being, you know, keeping it easy.
But it was, and I bet it was easier to stick by that as opposed to like today's era where you're like, my wife got to at least make a porn video with me. You know what I'm saying? She at least got to be on the pole too.
If that's the point we're making, then yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, men are very
very acceptable to whoring out their wives. And he's just like, are you fucking serious?
And that's the new day and age, right? Yeah. That's the new day and age.
Mind-boggling. Like, you're really cool with,
where you were going.
With knowing that your wife was on video screwing somebody. It's like the possibility exists with everybody, but knowing that you know and everybody else knows. Kim Kardashian, but, you know.
Right, I'm like, Kardashian? For real? Right.
Are you fucking really serious? Going to wipe
but
her?
But look who's at the pedestal now. Like, that's the type of woman that's at the pedestal as opposed to the one that'll...
Literally.
I know. That's what's portrayed, yeah. But, you know, we as black men still love regular women.
Regular women.
It's portrayed
as
that.
Some of these black men are confused. Some of these guys are
confused. Speak on it. Speak on it, Shelby.
Well, no, I'm
having trouble understanding what position you're coming from.
No. I think I understand. I didn't know that's where she was going, so I do apologize. But I do think that a lot of guys, everyone in this room, we're from a different era. So the level of respect that we require from each other is different than, I think, younger people. And it is more acceptable now to be whoring. Yeah. Whoring is like on a whole different level of acceptability now than it was when we were younger. And so we just... Yeah. View it differently.
That's because now we. That's because now we becoming the adults.
They always around.
We the adults now. We got kids.
Oldest profession, right?
Yeah, you got to go to the wedding wild part of your turn. Right.
I was gonna ask about it before because I know we probably gonna break in a minute. We talked about this, and then Kim and I will probably have something else we'll probably talk about with Love and Hip Hop. But just for NWA perspective, the whole like a bitch is a bitch and all of that. And Kim and I was kind of saying, it felt like back then, if there was, even in that song, when he's like, I ain't calling you no bitch, it's just like, you have to fit the description. They just not saying that, and that's describing every woman, every black woman. It's just
if the shoe fits wearing.
Right.
And Felicia was an example of that. It's like, you got a dude who you got strung out on you. To the point where he's willing to show up, right?
To shoot your ass.
Brandishing a gun, but you in here polishing niggas. And it's like, okay, yeah. Well, you know what? Guess what? Even though I'm on the receiving end of your services, you still a piece of shit. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You still a piece of shit.
Because you saw how Cube did her too, right? Like, bye, Felicia, right?
You still a piece
today,
of shit.
They would have just married her. Like, come on, Kim.
Yeah.
Where's Chloe?
Yeah.
Better yet, where's Kylie?
Oh, my God.
He's like been under a little bit of scrutiny this week because they had a conversation with he and Dre. You know, Dre's altercations, his physical altercations with women have definitely been heightened with the publicity of this film. There's like a whole article, Beatings by Dre.
Because for those, it was left out. It wasn't mentioned at all.
Yeah, and to our boy's point, this film definitely shows Dre and Ice Cube through a particular lens. For sure.
Yeah.
But what they said, they were talking to Cube and Dre about just the, you know, how women are portrayed in West Coast gangster rap specifically. And Dre was like, well, if you are a bitch, then you don't like our music. And if you are a hoe, you don't like our music. And if you're not one of those types of women, it doesn't impact you. He said, I've never understood why women, I forgot the term he used, but basically why women who aren't bitches and hoes get upset when we're talking about bitches and hoes, because we're not talking about them. Like, when you're an upstanding woman, this does not pertain to you.
Can you expound on that? I think why you think people gravitate towards identifying with shit that has nothing to do with it.
I don't. Because, okay, growing up in L.A., I could understand when they said bitch and hoe. It wasn't referring to me.
Not.
And mind you, I was, like, too young to even have chosen either of those personas for myself. But I was very clear, like, yeah, I'm not a bitch. I'm not a hoe. But I think we are now living in a time period where those terms have taken on a more general... People wear them.
It's a fucking term of endearment now.
Well, I use it more.
People wear them in a way.
And the word nigga, it's like, yes, I've used it. Yes, I've heard it. But in no way do I feel like it applies to me. And in no way am I sensitive to situations where it applies to people who the shit actually applies to? It's like, you a motherfucking nigga, man.
It's not a name you answer to.
I don't answer to it, but I do know some.
Right.
Everybody don't have a heart attack. I'm going to take the very extreme, like political.
Say it with your chest. Say it with your chest.
What happens is that when it's a group, when it's men speaking of women in a certain way, even though yes, it doesn't apply to all women, it's like we are in a situation where unfortunately we're the like oppressed group, and so there is a sort of identification that all of us have with each other in that situation. Just like black people get offended, even though the things that people say about black people I don't identify with necessarily sometimes, but it's still offensive, you know, like. And so I think in that sense there are women that are going to take offense no matter what, because it's, we do have a certain fight that we're fighting, you know. And it's like when it, even though men don't might not see it that way.
You know, no, I really feel like this is one of those conversations that I had.
Felicia?
Yeah, I was like, were you done?
I'm sorry.
I thought she did finish.
Oh, you were done? Yeah. Okay.
I know, I thought she was going to say something else. So I was like,
this makes me think of something that I know I mentioned this before, talking about taking a feminist theory class my freshman year at UCLA. And how I was in there just outspoken like a motherfucker. And when they were talking about issues of women being demeaned and, you know, discriminated against, I was like, I have no fucking clue what you white people are in here talking about. Like, that's not my experience as a black woman. I was like, I'm so central to my community that I don't know what you're talking about. And it was this one hella, I'm about to really fall into a stereotype, angry white lesbian chick. And she was just like, what about rap music? And I had no response to her. I was like, what do you mean? She was like, black women are demeaned in rap music all the time and called bitches and hoes and stripping and all that kind of stuff. And it slapped me in the face because I had no response for her because I never saw it through that lens, but it hit me. Other people looked at us
that way.
And that's why people have an issue with it a lot of times, a lot of women that have issues with it.
But I get that they just don't view it the way I view it. And so I guess now in this moment, I'm asking myself, is my view of it incorrect? It's just broader now. I'm understanding how somebody else might see it differently, but I don't think my perspective of it is incorrect. It's just,
I think it has
my perspective.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with the way people view music, A, and B, the problem is that people are defining black people. Like, I think through a song, like, you can't take a song that a rapper makes and he says bitch and he says ho and think that, and now that's all black women. that's not what he's saying. Like, he's literally talking about a hoe, literally. Right. He's not saying this is how I see my mother. The fact that he says bitch doesn't mean he calls his wife bitch, but that's not what happens. I feel like when a song is made or a movie is made, people watching are like, oh, right. This is what black people do. And right. That's not...
And that's how they perceive and that's all how they women. Perceive yeah, it. Like, that's how they all perceive all
it's
women.
It's exactly the same thing.
It also, just like, you know, you don't refer to yourself as a nigga, but if you see a white person exactly. call this person a nigga, you're going to be offended. So it's just inappropriate.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Same yeah, thing. You know you're not a nigga. You know you're not a hoe. But it's just, you know, I think it they relate.
And I think it also touches on sort of the issue within the feminist movement of the black women and white women and how sometimes there is like sort of a divide. Because for white women, this is their thing. Like, this is their issue. This is what oppresses them. Women. Like, being a woman is the only thing that keeps them from being the top of the heap, you know?
Right.
And so that's what they focus on because that's where they feel oppression and so forth. But for a lot of black women, we're black. Like, so we have a lot of other stuff to worry about. Yeah, right.
I'm so glad you've opened up this door, Leisha, because the question I wanted to ask is, you know, where the feminist movement is concerned, do black women feel like their struggle is parallel to that of non-black women? And is it the same struggle? Because You know, I mean, from a black man's perspective or a man's perspective, it's like women's rights. And it's like, well, this woman's rights and this woman's rights are not the same. So I'm kind of
a big
confused.
Battle.
Yeah.
It's a
battle amongst women.
Yeah. In the movement.
Because okay. I also think like one of the biggest things or one of the big differences, right? Even with this whole thing around bitches and hoes, there was empowerment around being a hoe or a bitch in the hood back in the day to pull a nigga like Eazy-E or Cube, right? A hoe wasn't just fucking to be fucking. She was fucking for some claim. So like you couldn't make a hoe
status.
Feel bad for being a hoe. Like it was hoe was like same as a gold digger in some regards. You know what I mean? Like
that's what you were.
Yeah, that's what you were. Like there were females that imbibed, you know, that was what they sold themselves on. And dudes, in a way, it
you
was empowering.
Too deep, Tori. You taking it too
deep. No, because
you
just got a
and listen, you speaking that. Realism.
But listen,
you like
there
you said
was
quick.
Some.
You speaking realism, but you got to give it to us in bits and pieces.
Because I'm about to add
listen,
another layer. Because
here's the thing, right? In some ways, it was empowering, right? Because you could take a Crip or the hardest dude in the hood and make him mad and call you a hoe or a bitch. Why? Because you wasn't the typical submissive good schoolgirl. You got him. Like, he thought you was going to call back. No, I was fucking for the good time and the money, and now I'm with your other dude in the other group. So there was a time where that was all empowering. And it wasn't just like, some people took it as demeaning, but some of them, and they're still around, like the super heads of the world, right? It was like, aha, I caught your ass slipping. You caught feelings in the bed, and I'm out, and now I'm fucking somebody on the East Coast, or now I'm fucking a dude from another set. So... And I'm in the book. Right, you know, so.
But what's so empowering about that? I don't understand why.
Because it was that was the control.
I have no respect for a gigolo, so but I would say, right. Why y'all have respect for
But I would say this, you can flip it, in a sense to where you can say it's power
right.
Because I got this nigga coming here
but,
to shoot somebody
but,
else
but,
over
but not just
something
that
quote unquote, you say you can get anywhere you want. Well, if it's not if it's nothing, then why the fuck are you catching? Why you catching feelings?
I get that, but what I'm saying is that when the Constitution was written and they referred to the rights of men,
exactly, you already aligned to the point.
Black people seem to get the misconception when you talk about freedom of speech that it applies to you. No, the forefathers of this country had absolutely no intent of this shit applying to you because they did not view you as a man and they did not view black women as women. Really? And so when you start talking about the feminist movement, you know, it's like it's not one and the same amongst women of color and women who, you know. And the same thing with black men. It's like, you know, the struggles that we have do not apply to non-black men. I mean, the most inconsequential shit. It's like I'm rolling down the street and somebody honks the horn. I'm looking in my rearview mirror. I'm looking in both side view mirrors. I'm like, does a nigga have his gun pointed out the window? I'm annoyed. You know, it's like, is this nigga going to roll up beside me? Hey, this shit is real.
Hell yeah.
This shit is real.
Let's talk about it.
Well, because I thought we were talking about specifically the feminist movement, and I don't think I mean, maybe I'm just too shallow at this very moment in the day, but I don't know. I don't get the connection that you're making. And maybe I'm just being slow.
It's not a connection. And that's what I'm trying to say. Is that do you really think that the struggles that you have as a black woman are the same as the struggles a non-black woman has? So
for me, the feminist movement is, and this is why a hoe feeling like she has power because she can make a man show up, and then it's because of the oppression. And whether I'm a black woman or a white woman, we are both oppressed. I am more oppressed than a white woman. We both experience that oppression that men have been given more power than us, and that women historically have used sex to control a situation. Like, that's where I feel like the feminist movement. Yeah, the feminist movement.
You
can.
The other aspect of that, though, is that it's not just about being oppressed. It's also about being able to define your own sexuality, right? Like, maybe I don't want to be missionary style and just a wife.
Well, there's that too. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's that. Well, I would argue that
and not every wife is missionary style, but when you think about no role.
It's like, I don't know when this shit's coming on. I can't control it. It's like a fiddle man.
I like the radical
position.
She
out of
track.
Right.
I like the radical.
That's fair.
Because typically that was the role that was given, right? You're the receiver, you're this, right? And so when women, and Kim and I talk about this all the time, like giving women the power to have their sexuality, that was part of this freedom with being a whole, right? I don't just have to be the recipient on my back. Like, I can do it, get money, and go. Or I can get a life out of it. That was all empowering. So in some ways, being called a whole was not a bad thing. It was a bad thing if you were screwing and then broke the next day and you in tears. And it's after the different guy after different guy. Then it was like, but like the hoes, all the rappers that walked talked about hoes and bitches, they seemed mad that these girls got them and they lightweight felt some kind of way about her or thought they was going to get over. And lo and behold, like, yo, she's screwing my crew. She's screwing the DJ from that crew.
But the hoes that the black men talk about are no different than the groupies that the white men talk about. It's all one and the same. You are doing something with the expectation, you know, of landing yourself a big payday or just that fame and popularity or experience, you know. And so it's like, I have a problem with you all as black women identifying with the feminist movement as something that falls under one umbrella, because I don't think that the whole women's rights, the Voters' Rights Act, you know, where women are concerned, was intended for you. Just as a constitution where you start talking about men and what a man is, was intended for black men.
I think we have some same struggles, but I don't fall under that umbrella. You know what I mean? Like, my struggles as a black female or a black woman, certainly different. Now, we definitely have some similarities. I think when it comes to the workplace, that's when,
we don't get paid.
Well, I was in the workplace. Yeah.
You'd be surprised to know a staggering statistic, and that
white women make more than me.
No. Yeah. That black women, in terms of success,
are more degrees, successful.
Are the most successful group.
Period.
I mean,
right.
Right.
But in the nation.
Like, even with that,
that's a tribute to black women, though. Yeah. Not that, like, for some reason.
You said that's a tribute?
Because it's not like, it's a tribute to
black men.
Right. But even then.
Like, we've been given some, like, pass to somehow get more degrees than anybody else.
No. Because let's
do it.
Let's think about how this came to be, Leisha.
Let's think about it.
Okay. So, why do you think that is?
Why have black women? Okay. There's definitely different struggles that black men and black women face. One of the struggles that black men obviously face is, like, the mass incarceration, the, you know, whether it's the danger on the streets or whatever, like the killing, all that stuff. That's something that we tend to not suffer from or whatever. So I will say, just in terms of sheer numbers, we have an advantage. Our numbers are always probably going to be higher as far as attending college and getting degrees and all of that stuff. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't think that there's any reason that black women are so much more special than any other group that we should have all these degrees. You know, like, we don't get any better treatment than anybody else.
I disagree.
We have no advantages.
I disagree. Have you ever thought about the protectiveness of black fathers?
No,
absolutely not.
Make sure. Excuse me, that may not apply to you. I said, have you ever thought about it? The protectiveness of black fathers who have said, you know what? Instead of making sure my daughter feels the same thing that I felt and experienced the same thing that I felt, I may allow my son to do it, but I'm going to make sure that when my daughter goes to college, that her tuition is paid, that she doesn't have to be a stripper on the side, that she doesn't have to get that side job, that she doesn't have to do anything except focus on education.
Now, let me tell you something. I am all for black men. So please don't take this the wrong way, because I love black men. I am so grateful for their presence in our society. I see them as, you know, very important. But let me say this. What I thought you were going to say is that black women made sure their black kids, daughters and sons, made it to college. Like, I really feel like black women really pushed it.
That wasn't the experience in my family.
And so I'm not saying there aren't black, but the point is that black parents made it important, made it a priority for their children to go to school. I think that I think it has more to do with what Leisha said in terms of like the sheer numbers that more black women, and it's just this criminalization associated with black men that makes it harder for them to be as successful as black women. And I think that we're allowed into the workforce. I mean, it's just been my experience working in corporate America. I feel like I'm less threatening to white people than black men, period. And even though I'm considered threatening to them, black men are more threatening to them, in my personal opinion, in my personal experience.
That stings, but I believe it's true.
So that's why I think that we're, you know, college, you know, graduated, you know, we'll just shove this mammy into this job. You know what I mean? Like,
but who made the provisions for this to happen? I know for a fact that, you know, I can trace my ancestry back 6-7 generations. And so I know that where I'm concerned, it was the men who made provisions.
This is a crazy argument.
Excuse me, financially.
I mean, it's crazy.
And this is not to undercut the contributions of women, because I feel like, you know, my grandmother, who I was closest to, made huge sacrifices. She had a baby at 16. She decided that she was no longer be going to school. You know, she wanted to be a nurse, and she never accomplished that dream because while my grandfather went off to college, after they had kids, she's at home taking care of babies. I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that you can't give credit to one over the other.
I said parents. Black parents.
I'm not crediting black mothers over black fathers. I'm saying that there's a system set up in which, like, similar to what Shelby is saying, that whether it's, and similar to what I was saying before, whether it's a certain oppression that comes down on black men in a certain way that makes that a more difficult path
to
reach.
Is that a question, Leisha, or do you know for a fact that exists?
This is what I believe. Okay. This is what I believe from from just not saying I'm any kind of expert, from whatever studies I've had in my life and from whatever experiences I've had in my life.
Okay, please
your
don't pose it as a question, though.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I'm a valley girl. Everything's a question when I start. I end everything in a question.
I can answer this question for you, because I'm ready to try and get some more drink. The reason is, specifically for black women, is because there is something in the relationship between man and woman when it comes to black men. And maybe is it specifically black Americans? Where I think the gap in terms of power struggle between the sexes is at the most minimum of all the other races. I think we, as a group, somehow allow our women to do more and to access more than the other races. The other races feel like women just here. This is how it is. You just behind my ass all the time. Latinos, Asians.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. What do you think God intended when he?
Let me finish.
No, I want to know.
I'm gonna finish my question and come around it.
I'll answer that.
I will say this in terms of.
I know you will.
No, I will say this in terms of a target. Black men are first because biologically, if you're going to eliminate us, you take the weakest. You know, the strongest physically. Like, if I'm trying to overpower a group, I'm going to take the man out first. I mean, that's just because, like, physically, it may be more difficult just off strength. But
what about historically, Chris?
That is what's happened.
But that's how it is. But I think for because you're, like you're saying, that, you know, as men, you're always in the front. Well, if I am. Just how you can say it in any other group, that's my line. That's not in the front. If I align with this group, I can get myself further. That's how I'm like, fine, I ride the feminist train. They knock down this wall. I benefit. That doesn't mean I'm down with them. It's the same thing shit villains do. Okay, let's get together, have this big plot, take out this enemy. That doesn't mean we're going to be friends forever. Let's just get over this hump. And then we get over this hump. Then I can, you know,
we can go back. Revisit our
right. So I think that's just how black women are just like, all right, we identify. This is going to help us out at some point. Yes, I want more money too. And if these white women can help me get more money, then shit. You know, let me. I ride that shit, and then when I get the money, then I can be like, when they ready, like, well, what can y'all? You know, now we ready to take down this group, and you just like, nah, fuck y'all, we good, we got what we wanted, we straight.
See, I would say for me, it's not even as much that. It's that as someone who has only I've only worked in one industry in my whole career. And it's a somewhat, you know, corporate environment. And I can say that I definitely feel in my career being a woman has been more of an obstacle for me than being black. That is absolutely how I feel. The things that I've experienced just in the office culture, there's things that I experience as a woman that I know I would not experience were I a man, even if I were a black man, because I've worked with black men and I've seen the difference in the way that we are treated. So that is a reason why I do think it's important for black women, for any woman, to feel strongly about women's rights, even though we have a lot of other things that affect us. It is something that still does affect us. And it's kind of the same thinking, why black people should also be in favor of, like, you know, populist economic theories and closing the gaps of income inequality. Because even though they're not necessarily racial issues, they're issues that absolutely will help black people in the long run. And so that's why I feel like black women should identify, because it does help us in the long run, even if it does help white women too. It does help us too. Like, equal pay will help us. Of course. You know, I mean, we can pretend like it won't, but it will. Just being black doesn't mean that it won't, you know? So I guess it's like there is a division in the feminist movement, like I said before. I'm not pretending that shouldn't be there, because there is absolutely a good reason why that's there, and white women should get it together when it comes to including black women, if that's what they want. But I don't think that black women should abandon the feminist movement just because white women have the majority.
I wasn't suggesting that.
Okay. That's what it sounded like. So.
No, I just...
It did.
The point that I was trying to make is making certain that you all understand that the fight was not necessarily on level planes. You know, that the fight that you're fighting wasn't the same fight that another group was fighting. But I have a question. I have a question for you, Leisha. And my question is, because I'm light complected and people always want to know, what are you? What are you basically? Yellow. And so when you start talking about, when you speak of your struggles being based more on the fact that you're a woman.
In work.
How do you feel people perceive you from a race perspective? Do they question you? I mean, you are biracial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'm not being facetious. I'm really wanting to know. But Chris is laughing.
Oh, okay.
I'm wanting to know. You know? That's Chris. That's my friend. I'm throwing him under the bus now. But right. So I'm just wanting to know that. Do you feel that maybe the reason people, the struggles that you have, are not racially based because people do not necessarily know how to peg you? Like, or they're like, she is white.
Well, it depends on the job, I would say, because, like, I've worked at large companies where I'm sure there's people that worked with me that maybe weren't sure. I mean, to me, it's obvious, but, you know, regardless, I'm definitely not white. That much everybody knows. I'm not white. What they think I am. Now, I've had, like, my last job ever.
I don't know that, though. I could kind of say.
You think I could be white?
I think you kind of could be with the tan.
Nobody's ever told
what?
Me.
What? No, I'm just fucking with you, but keep going. Pause. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I have had jobs at smaller places where we all talk. We all know everything. Everybody knows. Right. They know what my mom is, my dad is, blah, blah. Like, you know, so, I mean, I've had both experiences. That's what I'm saying. And that was the job that I felt the most. Where everybody knew each other.
I forgot, what is it? Your mother's?
My mom's white. White and your dad's black. My dad's white. Now, my mom's Jewish, which is very interesting being in entertainment, and I never mention that until I'm hired, because I don't want, even though I could be a positive, and most of my bosses have been happy once they've known, because all my bosses
are Jew.
Across the board have mostly been Jewish, but that is an interesting thing that I have never tested out. as far as whether the reaction would be different and more positive, because I'm just like, whatever, if they don't want to hire me because I'm not Jewish, then it's fine, you know, even though I am. But anyway, so I haven't tested that theory yet. So I try to keep it as like little information as possible.
So you feel like you've kind of played that up then?
What?
Your Jewishness.
No, I don't play it up.
Oh, okay.
I'll admit it. I mean, I'll say it after I've been hired. But people have advised me to put my mom's maiden name on my resume.
Really? Before. I could see that, yeah. What's her name?
Engelberg.
Oh, yeah.
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 My mom is Jewish.
Leisha Engelberg. Your grandmother's Jewish?
Mom.
Her. Oh, I was like, your grandmother's
Jewish. My mom is Jewish.
Is she?
No.
Abendorf.
Huh?
Avendorf.
You're lying.
No, I'm serious.
I was going to say, you tell so many like little stories we can't tell.
I'm not lying. I'm serious, but it's just my father seems like an anti-Semite, and he always has been. And it's crazy because...
Wait, your mom is Jewish?
Yeah, but it seems like my
father... Your mom or your grandma?
My mother and my grandmother. In order for my mother to be my grandmother,
I
had
thought
to
you know like your her no no when she has kids
no see no this is a difference excuse me
oh you're talking about
what Leisha's telling you is that her mother is a Caucasian Jew.
Yeah,
okay, my mother is biracial.
Oh, so your mom
she's
is
talking
like
about
me.
The lineage.
My mother would have been
would be
you,
me,
right?
You,
right?
You'd be
right.
My
so
kid.
I know what you're talking
but
about.
But my
and
mother
my
is still a
will
black
be Jewish.
Witch.
Her, her, yeah, by
right.
Jewish law,
right? Right. Yes. So that's what I'm saying.
Yes. So you really? Are Jewish. You could go get bar mitzvahed.
You right.
Could.
Did you?
You had one, didn't you?
I heard it. Cool. I had a hot to fight down Brit, but no, no.
What?
No.
What? A bris?
No, a hot to fight down Brit.
What's
I was
that?
I was circumcised at birth, so
oh, not
it's just a ceremonial circumcision.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
See, yeah. I'm so not.
It's where they poke your penis
Jewish,
with,
I don't know that.
With the with a stick and they make it bleed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not very good.
Yeah.
What?
They do that when you're a baby?
No, they do that at any point in life.
What?
The bris has to take place within, what, 8 days? Yeah, 8 days. Yeah.
Something, yeah.
You have to. No, the circumcision has to take place within 8 days of you being born.
Oh.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Wow.
See, this is my brother in Judaism.
Nah, I'm just. You know,
I don't practice.
But I was circumcised at birth. Yeah. Yeah. Just that was my mother's thing, like dirty dick. You know, like nah. Yeah, yeah.
So crazy! I can't believe you just said that, and I can. Oh, that's a big deal.
You should know.
Really?
Because black women make a big deal about that shit.
Well, not being saying, circumcised?
No, yeah, I've heard black women like, he's not circumcised. Days. And it's like,
yeah. It is not cute.
Yeah.
It's got a different look. No judgment, no. Although it does look different.
Okay.
It's just not.
Hey, yeah, Shelby, why don't you tell us about that? No.
I'm trying not to fret.
It's a cultural thing.
It is cultural.
It's cultural. It goes from culture to culture. Absolutely.
And I mean, there's a lot of people now that are really anti-circumcision. Like, there's like a movement.
But that's stupid, though. You know, it's like baby causes pain. It causes pain to the baby. Like, babies don't feel shit.
Yeah, you
know, it's like
that's ridiculous.
You cut the umbilical. They don't. You cut the umbilical cord as soon as they're born. Do you remember having your umbilical cord cut?
Do you remember being circumcised?
Right. It's like, do you remember cutting the foreskin off your
penis? They feel it. I mean,
no, they can feel it. But is it?
If they
is
didn't
it,
feel it, they
is it traumatizing?
Cry. That's
no,
the question.
It's
is it traumatizing?
It's not traumatizing.
If it is,
yeah,
then everybody's
feel
right.
It.
Right.
It's
just yeah. Like I don't remember none of that shit.
You don't
it's
remember.
Not
that you didn't. Feel
only
it.
Reason you know it happened
exactly.
Because somebody told you.
Exactly.
And you still don't have proof.
Babies can feel stuff.
They're just not.
No, no, no. I get it. But let's be for real.
Like I got my ears pierced when I was six.
No, but if I ever have a son, you better cut that shit off.
You are hilarious. I mean, you are hilarious. They don't feel that.
Right. No, they feel it, dude.
They feel
well,
it.
You understand what I'm
it's
saying.
It's not for
the
yeah,
they don't
it's
remember.
It's not traumatized.
Look, I'm glad the kids don't have that memory. I don't want that memory. I have it. I was like, that shit was hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh.
That's not the same because that right. Can be, you know, carried out over a long period
like,
of time.
Wait to get this shit done? Like, this shit. Hell no.
I mean, but you're talking about a period where babies are new, nerve endings have not been formed, and so you cutting skin. I mean,
yeah, they may feel it, but it's not to the point. I'm just thinking from a logical standpoint. It's like,
because babies,
it's not the
shit.
Same as you taking a knife and cutting the foreskin off my penis. Now it's like,
Not the same. I mean, even though I'm sure it's more painful, but you, like, I got my ears pierced when I was a baby. Of course, I have no recollection. I'm sure at the time I cried.
Probably stung for
a second. That's what I kind of think of it similar to that, even though I think it's probably a little more painful. But
I'm sure it is. I guess.
But it's like, could you even remember? Like, I just don't think it rises to that level.
But you know, people like to act like, I don't know, over dramatization of the situation.
Of course.
Right. Which when you say there's a movement against, why the fuck? It's crazy.
There's a movement against people not piercing little girls' ears too.
There's a movement against women not feeling stimulation during sex too. You know about that.
I mean, that's okay.
That was over now.
You said that's okay.
I didn't say okay. I said I was getting ready to start a statement and I stopped.
You paused. Okay.
That's what you're talking about?
Genital mutilation. Yes. Which is why I said okay.
I'm just saying, you're talking about feeling here. Let's talk about feeling.
Check out of that conversation.
Because we're starting to compare things that just don't
even. The anti-circumcision movement does, a part of their argument is that the feelings are decreased when you're circumcised and that you're more sensitive when you're not circumcised. So even though obviously it's nothing comparable
What the fuck?
No, that is really...
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Because what happens is the nerve endings are covered. They don't rub against, versus like men who are uncircumcised, that those nerve endings are always exposed. So they become less sensitive. This is the thinking. I don't think that's worth not circumcising.
You don't get to enjoy that.
I'll stay part of the covenant. I don't know about that shit.
Cheesecake.
It feels good enough without it, so don't worry about it. That's my thinking, right? I mean, hey,
and
so
with
it might
that,
feel a little better.
That's our NWA tribute.
How do we end on circumcision?
I don't know.
I hope that gets cut out, too.
Straight out of circumcision.
Straight out of circumcision. Ended up talking about
circumcision?
I got a benefit out of an adult. I don't like, because after you get fine, you get extra feeling, but the chances of you actually getting in some, they're gonna be like, nah, I'm good.
Women are nicer than that.
Yeah, I
they don't care that much.
That is
nobody's
not on the top priority.
You're gonna be like,
I think that there are probably some people who would. I mean, there's so many crazy people in the world.
Once it's in its point, they all look the same.
Exactly.
So it doesn't even matter.
I don't know. I always feel like there's some weirdo out there that'll fit
but
into
that's
the
weirdo.
Extreme.
Like, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the weirdo.
Like, most women are not.
And widows don't
care.
Don't count.
No.
Weirdos don't count.
Right. I mean, they're not going to start probably seeing uncircumcised guys in, like, Playgirl, but I mean.
Yeah. Weirdos don't count.
Who cares?
Man is a man and man is a man.
Hey, I'm happy for them if they feel more. Lucky guys, you know?
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. You can message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again. We'll be right back.